God bless you. Please be seated. Well, the title of my teaching is God is Faithful. You can count on the promises of God to be fulfilled because he is faithful. Last week, Bob shared on we have to take the first step towards God's will for your life. We got to get out of the boat. We got to start walking on the water. When God says something in his word, it has to come to pass. And he said in the manifestations, yes, I'm here. He said, I am faithful, I am trustworthy. And that's what his word says. And, you know, it's such a privilege to be in a family where we can operate the manifestations and God can talk to each one of us and tell us, build us up, and then he has his revealed word here that we can study, we can memorize, we can walk on, and it's just a real privilege to know God's word and to enjoy it. But a lot of times people don't talk good about God because they don't know how good he is. They see all the acts of God and things like that. And yet, it's because they don't want the adversary to be revealed. But God is a great God, and we're going to see how faithful he is. We can be confident that in that first step, we can take it because God said it. Not that we willed it, but it's all about God. And he is trustworthy, and every promise in his word is trustworthy because he has spoken into being. He spoke into the being, said, let there be light, and there was light. Has anyone been able to turn the lights off? No. No one has ever been able to change anything that God has set into being. You know, I think with Noah, God set the rainbow in the sky to show him, to remind him of his promise that the world will never be destroyed by water. You'd think that maybe that could be for a period of time, but that rainbow is still there today that we can enjoy, and we can look out there and say, God established his promise, and we're reminded of it. So it's just tremendous what God has done. Let's start in Numbers 23. To build our confidence towards God, we've got to see who he is and who he is not. Numbers 23, verse 19. Says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. We don't evaluate God's reliability like a human's. How many of you have ever been an Indian giver? Just given something and taking it back? Well, because we change our minds. We want to give, but then, oh, I might need that. God has never been an Indian giver. He gives, gives, gives. It's flowing. Never takes it back. He can't. The only thing he can do is be established on what he says. So it's a wonderful blessing. When you see that in God's word, when he promises something, never think, oh, well, maybe it's not available today. What he said 4,000 years ago is still available today. God will never lie. He will never deceive and will never mislead you. God will not change his mind. God, you can trust God. You can rely on God. You can to keep his promise in every detail. And God's promises are today, revealed today. It's not in the future. Well, Christ coming back is the future, certainly. But if you need something, it says, if he shall supply all your need, you know when that is? Today. Today. We don't have to wait for him. What's waiting? He's waiting for us to catch up with him. He's already got the plan all set. He's ready to have this wonderful table set before you, and he's just waiting for you to come. He'll put the seat up for you and so you can sit down. He's got it all together for us. And his word testifies of his faithfulness. To be faithful means someone makes a commitment and they say what they will do. We want faithfulness in marriages. We want faithfulness in our friendships, in our relationship with our employees. Faithfulness is very important, but it's in our communication that we develop that faithfulness and that trust. And in our actions. Well, God has established his faithfulness throughout the Word of God. And let's look in Genesis chapter 1 first. We'll start there. But it's a really big deal for us to know that God is faithful, because so many times we have looked to our own selves to figure out how to meet our needs. And all God asks is for us to seek Him first. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We seek the things that are going to be added unto us instead of His things. Genesis 1:14, God set into motion the lights. It says in Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the earth to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God said it was good. God set in motion light so that we on earth would always see that He's there, that light, and that His promises, that He's faithful. And we'll see that in Psalm 119. But everything that He has said has to remain until the end. And there, we're going to go through eternity, so there is no end. There will always be light. There will always be God's faithfulness. Psalm 119, verse 89, we'll start at. And Psalm 119 is all about God's word. It's a really wonderful section if you want something to read today. If you just have time between the commercials of the Super Bowl, I'd encourage you to read. It's really, there's not much you can do in the Super Bowl to make any difference. You can yell at that TV, and if you really want to do it, I might be out shopping. But but God has a purpose for each one of us. And if you're watching the Super Bowl, just tell someone sitting next to you that you love them, or do something profitable. Okay? That's just my opinion. Okay, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances, for all are Thy servants. God set the stars and the moon and the sun in their course. He set the earth in its course to show His faithfulness to all generations. Look at verse 1. Isn't that great? Let's look at Psalm 148. Psalm 148, we'll start at verse 3. It says, praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heaven, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. Now, He commanded them into being, and they were there. He made each one of us. His whole desire for life was that He would have a family, that we would be His children. Look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 1, it says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. You know, it's not some. Everything that God says is complete. All. And the word all is used throughout the word. And it's really important because nothing's missing. When God does something, it's complete. He wants every generation to know His faithfulness. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Remember, He's told us again and again. He commanded the stars and the moon and the sky and the sun and the moon and the stars. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer or allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. So God has established in the heavens his decree that he will be faithful. And he made a covenant with David that his chosen will be forever. And who was out of his chosen was Jesus Christ. You know, he couldn't stop the promised seed from coming. He made a decree with that. And it's interesting, we won't read this, but in Jeremiah 33, it says that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and told him that if you think that if someone can stop the sun and the moon and the stars from coming up, then I will stop my covenant with David. Of course, we know that neither of those happened. And God cannot withhold something that he has put out there, that he has commanded. So what we, in our small minds, we always think, well, will God really perform his word? Will he perform his word? Yes, and that's what we need to keep answering. Yes, he will perform his word. He cannot not perform his word. You think about that. If he says, my God shall supply all your need, there's that all again. Shall he supply all your need? He cannot not. Does he say that by Jesus Christ's stripes you were healed? Yes. Are you healed? Yes, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ bore every sickness, every disease, every mental torment, any oppression that the adversary has for you. And God cannot not perform his word. Let's look at Psalm 130. Isn't this exciting? Because you know what? It's about God, and it's not about you. He established his faithfulness with all generations. With his children, we are his children, and he can't get rid of us. You know, he's got his seed in us, and he said in the manifestations that he will take care of us. But are we allowing him to take care of us? You know, he wants to. He knows the very hairs on our head. So we need to allow him to work in our lives. Because we are so important to him. He had the whole universe made just for us. That's how important each one of us are, and we need to see that. We should never allow our mouths to confess anything less than that. We are God's children. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And we are, right now. It's not tomorrow when you woke up and you said the perfect prayer and everything. It's right now. The day you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believed in your heart God raised him from the dead, you were saved. You confessed it. You spoke it. We need to speak God's word. He spoke it and it was performed. We speak it and it comes to pass because we are in agreement with what he says. Psalm 130. I hope this is blessing you because it really has changed my confidence in even ministering healing. Because it's not, okay, did I understand what was going on? It's, no, God is faithful. And all we need to say is, God is faithful to his word. His word says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Did he do it? Yeah, why? Because he's faithful, right? That's the answer. He's faithful. We wake up in the morning, and, you know, maybe my back hurts or something. But did the sun come up? Then God's faithful to heal that back. And that's all I have to remember. He's faithful. Psalm 130, verse 5, it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And that way it is expect. I expect for the Lord. My soul does expect, and in his word do I hope. My soul is expectant for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. You know, you can sit and watch for the morning to come up, and it's going to come up. You know, if you have another expectation that something else is going to happen, sorry, your expectation's not going to happen because that the morning is going to come up. Well, you should expect that if I have a need, God is going to provide it. It's in our expectation. He is faithful. Look at Lamentations. Lamentations is Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Kind of a tricky one in there. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope, or we are expectantly waiting for him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So, you know, we wait and we have expectations. But God's faithfulness is great, and his mercies, his compassions are new every morning. You know, he's not frustrated with us. He doesn't even see the things that frustrate ourselves. He can't look at the mistakes we make. He only sees us as his wonderful children. The Amplified Bible says, therefore will I hope in him and wait expectantly for him. The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him, inquire of, and for him, inquire, seek him, and require him by right and necessity and on the authority of God's word. On the authority of God's word, we expect that his word will come to pass because he is faithful. You know, it's very important that we expect God's word to come to pass. We have two expectant women here. What are they expecting? In 9 months, what are they expecting?
A baby.
They're not expecting an elephant, are they? No. There's a wonderful book by Dr. Seuss. It's called Horton Hatches the Egg. And he says an elephant is faithful 100%. Because what he says is going to come to pass. Means what he says and says what he means. Well, God said it. That if God said it, we just walk in confidence. We just receive it. We speak. God says it, that settles it. Let's look in Romans chapter 4. Abraham has always been one of my favorites. He's our father of believing. He had to speak of God's faithfulness. He had to confess what God said was going to come to pass, and in some pretty challenging circumstances. Look in Romans 4:18. And you may find that you have situations in your life that you think are pretty impossible. But nothing's impossible for God because he is faithful to his word. He is the God of the impossible. So if you've got something that's impossible, great. We got a God that takes care of it. Don't even think twice. Praise the Lord. Bob shared last week. Great. You know, on the cereal, they had the lion. He said, great. Well, great is God and great is his faithfulness. And if you've got a problem, fantastic, because God's got the answer. He's got the victory. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. According to what was spoken. What was spoken? That Abraham would be the father of many nations. God even changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. So when he introduced himself, I'm the father of many nations. It took some time. It took 25 years. He kept confessing it. Because it was spoken, it had to come to pass. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. The promises of God don't depend on your abilities, but God's. See that? It's not about you, it's about God. He has established this whole idea. We could never fathom the life that we live. So we'd be too rigid on ourselves. We'd blow it and say, well, just shoot me. You know, let's put me out of my misery. No, God is so great. It's not about us, it's about God's ability in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. God works within us. Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. They themselves had zero ability to bear children. So could they have done it? You know, they could have gone to a fertility doctor, all this stuff, but it wouldn't have worked. Can you imagine them going in? Hey, doc, what can you do for me? No, go home, old man. It wasn't possible. It was only God. And he brings the impossible to pass. And we are too precious to him to allow anything to stop us from receiving what he has for us. The key was Abraham's confidence that God had the power to do it, and he had that what he had promised. He had the power to do it. If you can focus on God's unlimited power, then you can count on that power to fulfill all of his promises. How limiting are you of God? How limited do you see God in your life? He's unlimited, because what he has said in his word has to come to pass. And we just have to receive it. At our New Year's advance, we had a wonderful testimony. We received an email. And it said, and there's some great things in here that I want to share with you. He said, I did receive healing when you ministered to me, praise God. I did not feel anything move in my neck when you ministered, but I chose to agree and accept the words you spoke regarding the healing, and later I received that healing. I later realized that healing had definitely taken place. I chose to agree and accept the words that were spoken on my healing. That's what we have to do. We don't look at the present. We look at the truth. You know, the reality is, yeah, you could have cancer. The truth is, by Jesus Christ's stripes, you were healed. So we have to choose to agree on what. You choose what you want to agree on. I'd rather agree on what God has done, because he's definitely made a tremendous life for us. He also said, I can't even begin to tell you how big this is, but people who really know me know that I have suffered for a very long time. I'm still continuing to claim healing in other parts of my body that the neck had affected. I actually received healing a second time at the advance from the music and songs. God cannot not fulfill his word. You see that? He cannot not do it. But the thing that stops us from taking that first step, we have to take a step. If God says, by his stripes you were healed, then you start confessing, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Then that back pain will finally go away. You just don't allow it. You command it. You have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to command that. God said it, it has to come to pass. But fear is the only thing that holds us back. So what did God do about fear? He says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. So fear has no right in our new nature. So we tell it goodbye. God told it goodbye, so you don't accept it. God keeps reminding us of his faithfulness in his word. Will God supply your financial need today? Yes. Take the first step. Give. You know, put that money in the basket. It's not going to hurt you. It's only going to bless you, because you're walking out, you're trusting. You know, when you have a baby that's learning to walk, first thing you do is you encourage them to get up. A lot of times they would just want to sit or they want to crawl. But, you know, you want them to start moving faster so you can go shopping and stuff, you know? So you put your hand out and say, you know, come to mommy. And then they come because they trust you. You're not going to put a complete stranger there. No, they trust you. They already know that you'll take care of them. So they have to take the first step. Will God heal your pains, your body, your broken heart today?
Yes.
Take the first step. Command in the name of Jesus Christ that by Jesus Christ's stripes you are healed 2,000 years ago. You receive it. Ask for ministry. Ask for someone to pray for you. Will God forgive you today?
Yes.
Yeah. Take the first step. Talk to him and thank him for his love and mercy and grace. Will God hear your prayers today?
Yes.
Yeah. Take the first step. Ask and you shall receive. Expect that your prayers are answered. Look at first. Let's close in Hebrews chapter 10. But we've got to take the first step with God's word. You know, we've got to be doers of the word, not hearers only. You know, it's a wonderful book. I even took a class in college, the Bible is literature. You know, I had no idea that it had power until I finally someone taught me that. There is so much power in here. And how many of you own a car? Everybody owns a car. How many of you have an owner's manual in that car? Yeah, what is that red light? You got to find out what that's all about. Well, God has an owner's manual for us right here. And all he wants us to do, he wants us to esteem his word more than our necessary food. Job said that. Jeremiah said, thy words... The words that I found, I did eat them, and thy words were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We eat a lot of other stuff. Let's put more time into God's word, eating his word, because God is faithful to perform every word in his word. Hebrews 10:23. We'll close with this. Says, let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our hope or faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let's hold fast our confession of our faith without wavering. We don't need to waver. He's faithful that promised. So we find the promise in God's word. We walk out on it and know that he's faithful to it. And then let's consider one another and provoke unto love and good works. When your brother or sister has a challenge, provoke them. Hey, you know what God's word says? He says that you're healed. He says that he will supply your need. Don't walk in lack. Now I'll stand with you. I'll walk with you. Let me hold your hand and we can walk together and we can see God's faithfulness come to pass. So I encourage you to step out on God's promises to receive exceeding abundantly above all he could ask or think. That's in Ephesians. That's what he said he will do. Ephesians 3:20. He wants to take care of us and he's faithful to his word. It's all about him and not about us, and we just walk on the word. So God bless you.